So just taking the 30 mil though, for argument's sake, and the amount of days that he actually was streaming on Mixer, he was making just over $90,000 a day.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to Watch Time. My name is Elliot, aka Muzulk. I'm a YouTuber with 9 million subscribers. I can say it because I hit it like I said I would last week. And I'm here with my sister Grace, who is a director of click management. And yeah, today we've got some pretty epic topics. Actually, just one topic.
Breaking news. It is the most breaking news episode of Watch Time that we've ever done.
Yeah.
Guys, holy moly. Quarantine has been quiet in many ways, but in terms of the drama that has come out in the community and like the news that is happening, it's been goddamn wild.
Ridiculous.
We are talking about the news that came out today that Mixer is no longer. It's merging into Facebook, and we're going to be talking about everything that means for everyone involved. What does it mean for Mixer? What does it mean for Facebook? Most interestingly, I think, what does it mean for Ninja and Shroud? What does it mean for Twitch? I'm so keen to talk about this with you, Elliot, because I feel like I've just been scrolling Twitter all afternoon.
Definitely comes under one of the headlines I was like not expecting to see. You know, like, everyone knows, like, Mixer's obviously, like, you know, it hasn't like reached, I think, where they wanted it to be, or it hasn't obviously become like a hardcore Twitch competitor, but it has definitely got a lot of like momentum, like it's definitely got a lot of money behind it, should I say. Like, it's got Microsoft, they've invested in these long-term contracts with a bunch of big creators. You think it's something that they clearly, and they're Microsoft, they can afford to run something at a loss for a long time if they see a long-term play. And then all of a sudden, overnight, bam.
If you think about it, all of Mixer's big announcements have been relatively unexpected, from them signing Mixer to now them shutting down just over a year later. Not even a year, I think. Absolutely wild. So to take it back a notch, we've spoken about the streaming wars before on Watch Time, but as of last year, there was a huge surge of wars in the streaming world to acquire audiences, acquire content creators, and basically mix up the oligopoly that was YouTube and Twitch.
YouTube for VOD content, Twitch for live content.
Mixer came to play. Oh, sorry, go on.
No. I was just going to say that, like to clarify, the war was very much just over the live stream content. I think platforms have accepted YouTube's algorithm is just a little bit too impenetrable. It's too good. It's too refined. They've got too much of a backlog of content, and their infrastructure is so good. Live was still the kind of, like, area where you could play.
Mm-hmm. And play they did. Mixer came to play about as hard as you possibly could, acquiring the biggest streamer in the world at the time, Ninja. Shortly after acquiring Shroud, they acquired a number of other slightly smaller creators, but definitely the contracts that they were putting down set a tone for what was then followed by YouTube, Facebook Gaming in this effort to acquire audience. And over the past year, it's been really, really interesting to see how that played out. And when these contracts happened, a lot of discussion was there to be had around, like, is it worth it for the platforms? Are they going to see the return? Are audiences actually going to transfer? And I think undoubtedly Mixer has struggled with that. I believe over the past year, most streaming platforms have seen a 99% growth in viewership, whereas Mixer, despite having about 34% of streamers, only grew 2%. So they really did not see any of the massive growth that I think they might have hoped would come from the investments that they made in Ninja and Shroud. And from COVID. Absolutely great point. Like, while other content platforms have completely blown up during the last few months, Mixer, I think, still failed to see any growth. And for a lot of people, I think they were okay with that. Everyone knew that the streaming game was going to be a long one and that these investments were being made because they saw the potential in it over the long term. But that, I think, is why it's so shocking to see it grind to a halt, or basically them fold the cards so early in the game. Like, the contracts that they made with Ninja and Shroud were rumored to be anywhere between 3 and 5 years. So for less than 1 year in, them to basically announce they're shutting down, insane.
Absolutely crazy, yeah. And I mean, there's so many like offshoots from this now. There's stuff to talk about because apparently there was, you know, a purported deal that Facebook tried to offer to bring them over to that, which is going to be, I guess, the new platform that Microsoft is going to be focusing on. Because obviously, when they say that when they're moving to Facebook, it's not like the Mixer platform is moving to Facebook or all the existing Mixer streamers are moving to Facebook. It's very much just that. It sounds like Microsoft is now going to be more directing their live streaming focus towards Facebook, whatever that means.
The deal terms haven't come out in entirety, but what I gathered from what has come out was basically that this wasn't a situation where Facebook is buying Mixer for millions or billions of dollars. I think to me very much sounded like a situation where Mixer was not a success and they've basically sold it to Facebook for parts. There was some underlying technology that Mixer had that they've clearly sold to Facebook. They've allowed the option for their creators to go to Facebook, but there's no exclusivity there. It really sounds like, you know, it was sort of a shutdown and they sold it for parts. Yeah. And it's just fascinating. I think the first thing that I think we have to talk about is what this means for Ninja and Shroud. To me, this is the most interesting point of it all.
Of the money.
Well, I mean, yeah, because these deals were huge. They acquired two of the biggest streamers in the world, and less than 1 year in, the platform that they committed to stream to is no longer. And when I first saw the tweet or the announcement that Mixer was no more, my first thought was immediately, what does this mean for Ninja and Shroud, among others, but mostly Ninja and Shroud. And my first impression was this could be bad for them. I think for a lot of contracts that play out in the way that they do, where they've signed on to exclusivity to a platform over a number of years, they're not paid those amounts up front. Whatever Ninja was paid, he wasn't paid at the start of the contract and then he just holds it. They're almost always going to be paid increments, like maybe each month.
10 million,
or after
10 million, like
a third
at the start, a third in the middle, a third at the end, say. Or like,
something
or
like that
a quarter
would be
every year.
A common structure. Yeah, so my initial thought was, I want to know what the contract terms were for if they sold the platform, if the platform shut down. My initial impression would be that they might only be getting paid for the hours that they have put in. But shortly after, it came out through a fairly respected industry leaker that Loaded, their management company, along with Ninja and Shroud, after an offer from Facebook to take them to the Facebook platform, said, nah, we're good. Pay us out the whole amount.
Okay.
Which case, they have just taken the biggest dub. I couldn't even conceive a bigger dub.
I heard they didn't get bought out for the whole amount. I heard they didn't get paid out the whole amount. They got bought out for a large portion of the whole amount. That Ninja got roughly 30 million and Shroud got 10. Which from everything we've heard sounds like, even if they'd already been paid out some, that would be maybe slightly less than the whole amount. But obviously, considering that now they can do whatever the hell they want, that's still a pretty ridiculous amount of money. But what I found even more interesting is that they turned down, apparently, an offer from Facebook that was double their existing amount with Mixer. Which, like,
this is,
do that
mind-blowing
math.
It's minimum $60 million over probably 3 to 5 years. This is insane.
And that's like tap-out money. That's just like, cool, I'm gone. I've gone to Barbados for the next rest of my life.
Just done my streaming deal for the next few years.
Exactly. Stream from Barbados.
It's absolutely insane that Facebook... One, I want to talk about the fact that Facebook would actually make them such a significant offer. Not even just to match their Mixer offer, but to give something so increased from what they were already working on when they saw the fact that it obviously didn't have the impact that Mixer desired.
Yeah, 100%. I think that's actually the craziest part of all is that everyone, I think when they were looking at Mixer a few months into their whole thing with Ninja and Shroud, the general, I would say, industry perception was, ooh, they must be regretting this. Because, you know, you saw, like, obviously people like Ninja and Shroud who were initially, like, they were pulling, you know, 100K viewers over on Twitch and, you know, maybe Shroud more like 50K. And then when they came to Mixer, they were down at, like, 1/10 of that. So, obviously, I think Mixer would have, when they signed them, understood they weren't going to get a one-to-one viewer crossover. But I don't think they would have thought it would have been a 90% decline.
Mm.
So, the fact that that Facebook had that information and then still was like, we're going to actually offer you more money, either shows that A, they have way too much money and they don't care, or B, they just see so much potential in like gaming live streaming and they believe in it so strongly that they know that even though it's going to be an absolute loss move, it's still something that they're willing to do.
To me, it has to be B. It has to be B, because regardless of the fact that Facebook's obviously a massive company and their budgets are probably massive, I don't think a $30 to $60 million contract is still very significant. It's a big amount. It's a big amount to go to one person that isn't a diversified interest. And anyone that's signing off on that is going to have to be able to justify it in some way.
Yeah.
And justify it in some way doesn't mean that they're going to make back their money over the contract. They might not, but it might be justified in the fact that they've just snagged up, or it's worth the opportunity cost, or they're asserting their name more in the market. It might even be like the PR of Facebook having two of the biggest gamers in the world would be worth it. So I think there must have been some justification that it could be worth it, which is fascinating because it's quite clear that it wouldn't be worth it from a viewer perspective. So there must be some underlying inherent value that they're considering there.
I feel like Facebook gets left out of the conversation a lot, but they actually were making plays. They were making plays at the same time that Mixer and YouTube were. They signed Toast and they signed
Karina Kopf.
Like they're the only two I know, but they definitely signed a couple of more like medium tier gaming creators. It almost felt like a toe in the water versus like Mixer, YouTube, and Twitch, who were just full like we're going to war. But yeah, it's absolutely insane to me that they could justify that amount of money for what I think they now know realistically will be like, you know, between 4,000 to 8,000 like increased concurrence. Because
so can I give you a little stat?
Yeah, hit me.
Okay, so I saw someone on Twitter do the maths that
Ninja got an hour or something when he was
the amount that Ninja has made on his Mixer deal. $30 million at least. Who knows if it was more.
That's what he got bought out for. I reckon he'd already been paid 10 or something.
I think there was some sort of signing bonus for sure. So just taking the 30 mil though, for argument's sake, and the amount of days that he actually was streaming on Mixer, he was making just over $90,000 a day.
Oh. But you know what's like...
Oh, my eyes are watering.
But you know what's even crazier is that like, I bet you he divided that by the total number. It actually sounds like he did because he's been there less for a year. That's the total number of days he's been on the Mixer platform. He hasn't streamed all of those days. In fact, there's a lot of days where he hasn't streamed. So if you were just counting off the days where he's streamed, it's probably more like 200 grand a stream.
I'm disgusted.
Just like imagine getting given a Ferrari every time you like sit down to play video games. Like imagine.
It is insane. Okay. So I want to know now, they got the offer from Facebook. First one. How long have they known about this? How long has Ninja and Shroud known that this was coming? What do you think?
Well, I think that's extra interesting because obviously it's come out that like most Mixer people did not know that this was going to go down. Vast majority didn't. So I think that number one, I think people would be pissed if they found out that Ninja and Shroud knew beforehand. But here's the thing. I think that they absolutely did because, like, the whole contract thing. It's like they were on, like, a financial remuneration contract with Mixer. There had to be a decent amount of lead time on those discussions so that they could...
Yeah.
So I reckon they probably would have known for a month or two. At, like,
because what I'm confused is Ninja did a tweet yesterday saying, hey, I've been taking the last couple of days off streaming, back soon.
Yeah, probably because... Probably because he was just like, I'm out, boys. Like, I know they're going to count. He's just like, yeah, Mixer, like, I'll do the rest of my hours, like, later in the year, right? When your platform's not canceled. That's allowed in my contract. Oh, wait, what's that? You're canceling? Oh, well, that sucks. I mean, I don't know. I feel
like they've known maybe for a few days, but I don't think they've known for weeks. Oh. I think these conversations have had to come around very quickly because they would have to be so careful. Like, from what I've heard, news of this did not leak. Maybe
that
last night,
that
there was
true.
A couple people that knew about it. And you think about if they had to start negotiating with Ninja and Shroud, their management teams, like their lawyers, that's a lot of people you got to start getting into conversations. And for that not to leak when there's really no like major repercussions, it's not like when you're signing a deal and you really don't want it to leak because you don't want to compromise it. It's like the platform's done. Like it's not, it's going. So to me, I feel like these conversations did happen quickly to negotiate that that contract payout.
Yeah.
I think there's no way they've known for more than a week would be my perception.
Yeah, I would say a week or two. I mean, the only thing that I, and this is the part that we obviously just have to speculate on, we don't know, is how much that like negotiation element and them trying to move over to Facebook is part of that. Because obviously when you're talking like, when you're talking $60, $70 million career changing contracts, like there's going to be conversation there, right? You know, there's like, that's not the kind of thing.
Hard
where
to make quick decisions. Hard 100%.
It alters your entire career trajectory. And also it's like $70 million. There's a little
not
bit
your,
to consider.
Not, I mean, it's your life. It's your family's life. It's your kid's life. It's your grandkid's life. Like
holy
that is
shit.
Generation altering money. Hmm. Yeah. So I think there's no way they could have known for a huge amount of time, which is really interesting. I would have loved to be, you know, a fly on the wall in their camps for the past 48 hours and seeing the speed with which these conversations would have to happen, the speed with what negotiating would have to happen, and the sort of mindset that the Ninja and Shroud camps must be on in terms of what else is out there and what the next opportunities are. Because absolutely, this must have been a surprise for Twitch and YouTube as well. I think there's no way that either of those platforms knew this was coming until maybe last night. And I reckon there was a lot of people in some pretty frantic conversations at Twitch and YouTube today as well. But that's what I want to get your thoughts on. What do you think they're going to do next? Like, where is Ninja and Shroud going?
See, I'm of two minds. I'm wondering whether or not YouTube and Twitch would be, you know, now. I wonder if this will be, you know, kind of maybe not an end to the streaming platform wars, but it's going to make platforms think a lot more carefully about who they pick up and who they like acquire for their platform.
Mm.
That said, I still think that YouTube, I genuinely think they are, and I definitely think they see themselves as a big enough player in the in the streaming space. And I also think that they're a viable enough option. Here's the thing.
Yeah.
There is almost no amount of money that Facebook could have offered either Ninja or Shroud that would convince them to go to Facebook. It's literally basically like done careers, like I'm just wrapping up my career now. I'm like, I'm just going to the retirement home to like play out my games. And like, cause realistically just Facebook doesn't have, you know, people talk about how Twitch has probably got the strongest live community right now. YouTube behind that, but Facebook isn't even like on the spectrum. Like it just doesn't exist.
I think Facebook has really struggled to ever overcome the perception that they're just a social media. platform.
Yeah.
They're not a content primary platform, and they're not a community platform for viewership.
And they're definitely not a platform for people between the ages of 12 and 25. You know, like, I don't think the younger generation is really using Facebook for anything other than Messenger. At least people in my group. Most people I know just do not, like, no one's doing status updates. They're doing tweets. So I think that's why Facebook is wanting to obviously drive gaming content and live streaming there, because they know it can pull people over to the platform more, which is, like, they understand that's their next generation of users. That, like, for them, they don't have to recoup on the live streaming gaming element. They just need that as, like, a pull to get people into the Facebook ecosystem. That's what everything is right now. I think that's something that's become so acutely I've become so acutely aware of is, English is hard. I haven't had coffee. But it's now that, like, it used to be these platforms were like individual services, but now it is, in a lot of ways, Google and Facebook. The two ones I notice it with most. They're no longer a confined service. They are developing a digital ecosystem that's like, when you're in their system, you are like everything. Apple's doing it as well with stuff like music, podcasts, payment. Yep. But I notice these days, if I'm paying for anything online, Google's like, oh, bro, just like Google Pay it, you know, like we got your cards, like, you know, like all tied up, just like get it through that way. And I'm like, oh yeah, like it's a little bit convenient, like I like that. You know, but that's the thing. And I think they all realize now that, you know, we talk about streaming wars being like, okay, they're trying to like take control of the streaming genre, but really this is platforms zooming out from that. They're trying to secure that young generation because you know what they say about, you know, like the first bank that you sign up with is a lot of the time the one you stay with forever. And that's why banks push so hard at like uni fairs where they're there with their tents, like, oh, sign up with our bank and get a free water bottle. And you're like, oh yeah. And then you're with that bank for the rest of their life. I think that's what a lot of these companies are probably thinking. They're thinking, oh my God, like this entire young generation right now, if we can get them in the Facebook ecosystem instead of the Google ecosystem for everything, that's where they're going to be going forward. And I think that this is a large part of that play. Whereas, you know, like whereas for Mixer was more just its own thing. And I think Twitch right now is its own thing. YouTube and Facebook can play the game so much more illogically from an outside view, if you're looking at it in a streaming platform sense, because for them, the streaming platform,
they've got the bigger play.
Yeah, the streaming platform isn't the play. It's the whole thing. But yeah, so on that point though, I think that that was a big tangent. I feel like the original question was Ninja Shroud, where next? I would not rule out YouTube seeing a big enough opportunity in maybe not both, but one of them to put an offer forward. And the thing is, and I think this is key.
You want to make a bet?
Far out, man. I just hit my boy Ryan. Hit my boy Ryan up real quick. Just like, hey, bro, like, what's the plans going on?
Gonna call it. I have no insider knowledge. Shroud's gonna go back to Twitch. Ninja's gonna go to YouTube.
That would actually also be my call. I think Ninja's got a really strong YouTube presence, so he would be the logical pick from YouTube's side. And I also think that I don't know. I have this feeling that because here's the thing. I think number one, weirdly, I just don't think Ninja likes the Twitch community that much.
Are you kidding? Do you remember?
Yeah, I remember him saying
that he left Twitch on.
Yeah.
I want to remind everyone, the Twitch and Ninja relationship did not end well.
No, actually, I wasn't thinking about that. I was thinking about I know he didn't love his, like, a lot of the people in the community. But yeah, you're right. In a business
how that ended.
Mm. So basically, and tell me if I'm missing anything out here, when Ninja left, beyond a lot of, like, really, like, passive-aggressive other stuff that went on, there was one big watershed moment where They changed Ninja's entire page, so it was no longer his page. When you typed in twitch.tv/ninja, you would get taken to a thing that just suggested other Fortnite streamers that you should go watch, basically removed mm-hmm. like all his branding, all his ownership of that page. And there was a moment where someone decided to try streaming a certain hub website with a little bit of not appropriate things on it. And when people went, so like when people typed twitch.tv/ninja, it like the number one stream that popped up was just like literal, like just
it was
porn.
On his channel.
Yeah, it was just it was like on his stream. So then he's like, dude, I have all these like, you know, 12, 13 year old fans who, you know, are still like typing in twitch.tv/ninja. And then this stuff's coming up. Like, this isn't okay. And basically just absolutely shredded. Like, he got really mad at them, which is absolutely fair enough. But you're right.
Among other points where Twitch was just, you know, objectively fairly petty about the fact that they were losing their biggest creator. And I think they felt the backlash from that. They felt the heat from that. And when other creators left Twitch, they would make them like a little montage of their time on Twitch and like wish them well on their next adventure. Yeah. But with Ninja, that really wasn't the case. And I don't know. I mean, money talks, but I'd be really interested if Ninja could actually overcome that.
100% money talks. That when he's like, I'm sitting back to evaluate my options on Twitter, he's like, I am sitting back to see which bags get offered to me next, you know? Like that's 100% it. He'll be like, I think realistically in his mind, he knows it's either going to be Twitch or YouTube. But I that's the thing. I would really... I think from YouTube sense, I think it would be a relatively smart enough move. I don't think that they'll offer as ridiculous of a bag as a lot of these other platforms did, because mm-hmm. they don't need to. Because when you're asking someone to move to Facebook, you're asking them to basically throw away like any value in their live streaming hours. Whereas for YouTube, they're like, no, we actually have like a decent content offering. So I think they would need...
I think there's definitely a little lesson in there to not burn bridges, because you never know when you're going to need them back.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think for me, YouTube or Twitch, obviously, are the logical options. If he decides not to go with Twitch and go with YouTube, I think that's really smart. I think he doesn't need as big a bag at YouTube. He's clearly just made out like an absolute bandit from the Mixer deal. And I do think there comes a point where... you have enough money, so much more than enough money to get you through the rest of your life and the lifestyle that you want to live. And you're seeing the bigger opportunities around what you might want to do with your career and the opportunities that are there. And I think if he goes to YouTube or Twitch, he knows that he's going to be able to get a much, much bigger audience there than he was getting on Mixer.
Yeah.
And from there, he can then leverage that bigger audience into more negotiating power, which might allow him to be doing all sorts of deals that don't even relate to streaming platforms at all.
And
that would be my point.
And the thing is, like, if he does go sign to a platform like YouTube, he can get like a chill contract. He can get something that's, say, like 75 to 100 hours a month, which is probably half of what he's doing now, maybe, or what he would have done like when he was streaming hardcore. And still get a really good kind of like bag out of it, but also be able to like sit back and do other things more, which he definitely like. Ninja's not grinding like he used to. Like, you can tell, like, he doesn't want to grind like the OG Fortnite days, which is fine. Like, he's earned that,
which is fair enough. You know, he's earned that. And I think now he probably sees the value in developing the Ninja brand. And who knows, like, he might take a smaller streaming deal, but then go and years from now come out with a Ninja game and a Ninja movie and, you know, have the Ninja products in every store across the world. And that's where he's seeing his scalability there.
Yeah.
So that's why I think that he would have perhaps turned down the Facebook deal in order to see like the bigger opportunities and the bigger picture that might be there.
Yeah, I agree. 100%.
Definitely want to touch on the fact that it would be bloody devastating to be a small or more medium-sized creator on Mixer right now. Like, I feel for those people, because it sounds like they had no idea. I mean, they definitely had no idea. There was no way that Mixer's going to tell their creators before they tell the world, because it would be one and the same and they wouldn't get to control the narrative.
Yeah.
And that would be tough, you know? There is, like, we've made jokes about it. There are jokes about it, but
I mean, it's literally one to one, or I would say actually even more so, because you build a community and you have like a thing. Which in some ways is a benefit and a loss. But yeah, it's like literally like being rocking up to work one morning and then just being like, yeah, nah, bro,
you're fired.
You don't have a job anymore. No, not even you're fired. Like, you don't even have a job. Like, just
yeah,
yeah. Like, we're done. Like, no,
this
no,
other place could
no,
take you
week.
If you want to go there, but no, like, we don't know how much they're gonna pay you.
Yeah, no, payout. No, like, no, you know, kind of run off. Just like, nah, just done. You've got nothing else to stream on anymore. I think that I think that what's interesting is the one good thing that you could say they have, like, in this scenario versus that other job, is that hopefully they do have a community, and that community will, to a degree, follow them over to other platforms. So, you know, if, like, if they've got fans, and their fans are fans, like, their fans will be like, oh, cool, like, this sucks, but hey, we'll come watch you over on Twitch. Might not be one-to-one conversion, but... But that would be my upside.
Yeah. I think it's definitely a lesson to creators that diversifying your audience and making sure people know to find you on more than one platform is really important, because it is a slightly precarious job when your career is very much in the hands of a platform. And no one ever expects that to happen, of course, and hopefully it won't happen. I don't think it would happen with Twitch or YouTube, but that's scary. So making sure that you have places that people can find you, you have diversified income streams if you can do it, is super, super important. And yeah, I mean, I hope their audiences switch over, but then God, like, you look at the biggest name in this whole discussion and Ninja's audience didn't follow him. So what is going to happen if you're a smaller creator and you don't have that name and that devoted audience?
I actually really think that smaller creators have a more dedicated audience.
Like, yeah, because, that's a good point.
Because the thing is, when you're in a stream like Ninja's, your relationship is purely between you and Ninja, you know? So that's basically what you're there for. Chat's moving too quick and it's just too spammy. So basically Ninja's not really seeing anything you're typing, but you're really just like, oh, I kind of like watching him. In these smaller streams, I watch like Brody's stream downstairs, and I look at his chat. He's like every 3 seconds, he's like reading a message from chat. Those people like know, like he's like, oh yeah, like John, like come on, you always do that, like fire off, you know. And then at the same time, like John's in chat, and John and Samantha are always like bantering at each other, and like, you know, there's like, but there's like more of a relationship.
Community. It's like somewhere where people are going to like hang out.
100%. I would say it's the difference between like hanging out with a group of friends versus like watching the Super Bowl. You know, watching the Super Bowl is entertaining, but you don't. But it's not like you're not like, you know, tight knit with the guy next to you. You're all just kind of like spectators looking at a big thing.
Yeah.
So
it's more of a fan rather than like a friendship.
That would be my, obviously it still sucks and it's not ideal, but that would be, if you know, like what I would tell someone in that situation is that, you know, I think that it won't be too bad. I think you'll be fine.
Yeah. There'd also be a number of staff that lost their jobs today that would have had no idea that was coming either. I think that's the thing with this sort of news. I think very, very few people knew about it before it was announced. And I'd be really keen to know, like, the people that made that call, not just how long ago they were talking about it with people like Ninja and Shroud, but how long ago was the decision to actually shut down the platform?
Yeah.
I know, Elliot, like you mentioned to me before, that they've obviously had a little bit of bad publicity the last few days with the Black Lives Matter movement that is very, very strong this month and right now, as it rightly should be going forward. Did that have an impact? I think it was too close to tell. Like, I think these decisions.
I agree. I don't. Yeah, I think it must have. I think you're right. I think I initially was like, is this like in part a fallout of that? But I think you're right. I think that like shutting down a platform of this size, shutting down contracts to the extent of Ninja and Shroud and all that other stuff going on, I think it must have already been well down the pipeline.
Well down the pipeline, but like, was there even room for it to be really well down the pipeline? Because some of their new contracts, some of their you know, the creators that started signing on with them, it's less than 6 months ago. So for a platform to go from making huge multi-year investments to shutting down within 6 months, I don't know. I'm really interested to see, like, as more news comes out, like, what actually happened? Like, how did something, you know, it was a big platform, not nearly as big as Google and Twitch, but that fell very, very quickly.
Yeah, no, 100%. I think that it, yeah, I think it must have, I think it still must have happened fast. You're right. But I also think it was probably a situation where they were like, you know, like, they were kind of like, look, right now the platform's not working. We need to make like a big play if we're serious about this. Let's do it. They bring Ninja over, they bring Shroud over, and then they can just see that it's like, it's still not tracking up how they want it to. And at that point, they've just got to make a call. They're like, do we have any other cards we can play that will suddenly increase that traction and shoot us up? Or is this kind of where we're at? Like, this is the reality. We bought out two of the biggest streamers in the world. We've created like a content service offering that's X, Y, and Z. Like, I genuinely think, I don't know what I would have done if I was Mixer. Yeah. Like, sure, you can talk about little features here and little features there and all that kind of stuff. Literally, I don't know what I would have done differently if I was Mixer. Yeah. I think it's just like, it's a hard game. It's a competitive game.
It's a hard game. To me, that's what's come out of it is, you've seen platforms like platforms try really hard. Like, I think if any platform really came and gave it a red hot go, it was Mixer, and it still 100%. Didn't work. I think this industry is rough, and as a streaming platform, there is so much that goes into building a good product, attracting a dedicated audience. And I think, you know, maybe it is a point where Google and YouTube and Twitch have just come too far, and then it's hard for it. It's going to be really impossible for anyone to actually compete.
Yeah, I still see Google as 100% a big player. I think that I still think if they can get all the service offerings there, you know, I think they do need to like lose a bit of the like I mean, obviously, it's so easy for me to say, but like, Google obviously has a lot more red tape in what they do than what Twitch does. Twitch can throw features out left and right. Google has a lot more legal loopholes that they need to be like very strict on. But stuff like gifting subs, emotes, like, there's just like a lot of things that I think in a year from now, YouTube streaming, I just still think they have the full service offering. They have the entire Google infrastructure behind them. They have VOD content, which just makes it a one-stop destination for everything that you want, which is YouTube live streaming, video, gaming, everything. Like, I still think that YouTube's going to be the big play.
Yeah, I agree. We didn't even touch that much on the VOD side of things, but the fact that YouTube has that. Twitch has never really made a play to even improve on their VOD offering.
They made a big play about a year ago where they were trying to like force creators under like contracts to upload VODs, and they were doing the whole video premiering thing, and they were really trying to do it. But I think they did it for like 3 months, and then they were like, oh wait, you need an algorithm to make this work. Yeah. Like, you need, and they would have had... And you have to fundamentally change the site. The whole way YouTube VODs works is the suggested feed on the site.
That's what I mean. Twitch was never going to ever compete.
Yeah. But I think they weirdly thought that they could. They identified, they're like, okay, we need VOD if we want to be like a one-to-one competitor with YouTube. But then they were like, oh my God. It's like if the effort of like creating a competitive streaming platform is like here, the effort of creating a VOD platform is the height of this damn building. Like, the extra work you have to do with like building up backlogs of content, monetization, algorithm is just so key. I can't go into enough detail for how much I admire the YouTube algorithm. I like that thing. Legitimately, like, people complain about it all the time. That thing is actually insane. It is insane. Yeah. It is on another level.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, YouTube just has the double whammy. And I think I would love to see them become the major player. And I think they've done, you know, for all intents and purposes, a really great job with their creator communities as well over the past few years. But super interesting. I can't wait to see like what else comes out about it. We should do like a Twitch versus YouTube episode and bring on like a Twitch streamer.
Oh yeah, that'd actually be so good.
I'd actually love to talk about the pros and cons of each.
Yeah, 100%. That's actually a really good idea. Yeah, let's do
that. Coming to you soon. Let us know in the comments what Twitch streamer you would like us to have on that episode.
Yeah.
Because I think that would be fun. That would be a great one to do.
And also, Mixer, you may be gone, but I want to heartily thank you for a beautiful 12 months of drama and topics for this podcast and all the other things that have come, because you've just been great. You've been great.
R.I.P.
And yeah, R.I.P.
Honestly, in all seriousness, no, though, Mixer shook up the scene. And I think if Mixer had not made those major plays, you would not have seen the development that Twitch has made in valuing their creators. There was a massive problem a year ago where many creators felt that Twitch was just totally taking for granted that they were the big player. And I think if Mixer had not made those initial plays, they kicked off the streaming wars. And I think the entire streaming community is better for it. Competition is always a good thing. All ships rise in a rising tide. And so I think Mixer, rest in peace.
You get a salute. You know what? They weren't perfect by any means, but man, like you're right. They came in, they shook up the scene. Mixer, if you look at the overall space of the YouTube, not YouTube stream, but just streaming in general, streaming video games online, Mixer has absolutely been a positive force in terms of how they impacted the industry.
Undoubtedly so. All right. I think that's a nice note to leave it on. Guys, make sure you follow us on Facebook. Like this video if you're watching on YouTube. Subscribe and leave a review on Apple Podcasts if you're listening there. It really, really helps other people find us. And let us know any questions that you have in the comments below. And we will see you guys next week. Bye-bye. Goodbye.